75% of Americans believe in UFOs. 30% of Americans believe UFOs are vehicles from other worlds. And 3% of Americans believe they have been abducted by aliens. That's over 8 million people. They're out there, aren't they?
Welcome to the UFO File Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Well, here we are at the UFO Files. Again, I'm Jerry Pippin in Oklahoma, a little rainy, misty night here in Secaucus, New Jersey, where Larry Dickin is. I think it's just cool. Is that right?
It's cool, but it's cloudy, so I don't think I'm going to be seeing any UFOs tonight. However, surprise, when was it? Last night? Or the night before.
Yeah, I saw an email you sent to our guest here, Kim Schaefer, in which you said you saw a flying triangle?
Yes, this was, it was actually 1:30 in the morning on Friday night, I believe. Actually, it wasn't my sighting. It was my partner here in New Jersey, outside in front of the condo at 1:30 in the morning, walking the dog.
Oh, you got him to do it.
Yeah, right. And well, on show nights and sometimes other nights too, but
what are friends for?
Right. And at any rate, he comes back in and he's all excited. He says, I'm out there. And I said, I decided to just sit down and look up at the sky and maybe I'll see a UFO.
And he did.
And all of a sudden, he did. And it was like he came in. I told him, I said, well, tell me what it looked like, and I will attempt to draw a little crude drawing of the thing based on your description. And what we came up with is something that if our listeners look out on our site tonight, we have a drawing of a flying triangle that was seen in Tennessee, and we're going to have an account of that.
Yeah, Kim Schaefer's got quite a story to tell us about that.
Right. That's our guest for tonight.
Yeah.
And at any rate, that picture, if you look at that picture, which is going to be on his web page on our site as well as on our UFO Files page for this week, is you'll see a triangle shape with three globular white lights, one at each tip of the triangle. And now, what did my friend see? He saw the tip of the triangle apparently catching some of the light, and one of these globular or hemispherical lights underneath the thing, but only one of them, not three, only one was lit. But in the back, where you would think the widest part of the triangle would be, there was anywhere from 6 to 8, and he couldn't be specific. I mean, he didn't like count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but he thought somewhere between 6 and 8 colored lights in the back, very bright, much brighter than an airplane's, and larger in diameter than the little flashers on the wingtips of the plane. And these were alternating red and green lights, and they were flashing on and off in a sequential pattern, you know, from left to right, on, off, on, off, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, if there are 8 of them. Sort of like a marquee light, and it was alternating red and green. Now, that's certainly not like any airplane that I've ever heard
of. Well, you're right, and we've heard reports like that before. This was pretty high up in the sky, I take it.
It's hard to tell, because there was, he said there was a commercial jet that flew by to the west of us several minutes before the sighting. And he says it looked about that size, And a commercial jet flies about 500 feet above the ground, close to here, on a landing pattern into Newark, and, well, sometimes up to 1,000 feet up. So 1,000 to 500 feet. And he said it looked approximately the same size, but I said, well, you know, when you look west here, that plane is at not only in altitude up 1,000 feet perhaps, but it's also about a mile to a mile and a half west of here. And whereas you're seeing this straight up overhead. And so the thing is it could have been a 30-foot triangle, one of the small models, at 1,000 feet would have fit the bill of us being similar in appearance to a small commercial jet. Or it could have been one of these 300-foot models up at 10,000 feet.
And the email I saw, Bruce had estimated that at 250 miles per hour.
Approximately, yeah, he said approximately the same speed that a jet aircraft would be on an approach path to Newark. When they come by here, they're generally going around 200, 250 miles an hour. He says it looked about the same speed as that.
Well, you know, we have some more stuff from Ohio. We're really the number one show covering this thing. Looks like two possible UFO crash landings there in Ohio. And you found us some more information from Tiffin, Ohio. It starts with a T as in Tom, Tiffin. And that's in
right.
Seneca County, same county as Fostoria.
Right. Interestingly enough, yes, Seneca County is a very rural area in western,
Eastern.
Or west central, no, actually
okay.
West central Ohio.
I'll take your word for it.
You know, excuse me, south of Toledo. And, excuse me, so this county, as I said, it's quite rural. And there's only three towns of any significance there, and that's Seneca County in Seneca County.
There's another small town, right?
There's Fostoria, and then there's Tiffin, and then there's one more.
Attica,
which is
right?
Attica.
In the prison in New York.
Right, and that's about it. So. And Tiffin is in
now,
the center
this
of the county.
This person was told by somebody that there were at least 20 eyewitnesses to this UFO crash.
Yes, and that was all the detail we had. No follow-up, nothing about, well, the Army came in, blah, blah, blah. This supposedly happened at 3 p.m. in the afternoon on the 22nd of...
I bet you that's a mistype. It's 3 a.m.
Yeah, well... That would more fit the scenario that has already been reported across the state, is that all of this stuff was going on anywhere from 10:30 on the 21st, 10:30 at night, up until about 1:30 in the morning. There were these two apparent forced landings or crashes, and then there was subsequent activity by the military. Lots of fighter jets in the air, military convoys the next morning going towards apparent locations where these objects came down. And the thing is it's possible, as you said, that 3 p.m. was really 3 a.m., and not that it necessarily even happened at 3 a.m., that's just when people went out to examine the site, perhaps. And that's the reason for the 20 witnesses. Yeah, this is all supposition, of course.
And we have not been able to get any first-hand reports yet, but we're still hoping. I did talk to Ryan Wood this week of the famous crash retrieval conferences out in Las Vegas, and he said he was going to have some people investigated as well. And Ryan will be on a show later this week with me, so maybe he'll have something. And if we have anything developing, I'm sure we will as well. But we need to get to Kim Schaefer, don't we?
Yes, we do. Kim has some extremely interesting information about some current sightings of large flying triangles in the Bristol, Tennessee area, which is where he lives.
He lives in Bristol.
All right, and he lives in a hot spot, interestingly enough.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff's been going on in Tennessee. I noticed, didn't he get involved in Dr. Bob Olson's sighting somehow or another? Didn't Kim talk to Dr. Bob Olson out in California at one time?
I'm really not aware.
Something happened there I remember Kim writing me an email about. Mm-hmm. It. Maybe he was responding to something we put on.
Right.
Dr. Olson saw some more things this week and took photographs as well. I got an email tonight about that.
He certainly did, yes, and we hope to get these new photos posted out there quickly.
There's lots of things happening here. Let's call Kim Schaefer up in Bristol, Tennessee, okay?
Okay.
Kim Schaefer, how are you?
I'm pretty good today. Happy to be on the show.
Well, good. And I know you've got an interesting picture there that's a graphic of I guess, what a witness described as a flying triangle incident.
Yeah, quite an interesting case. It was reported to me last Sunday, on October the 1st. It occurred on October the 2nd at 5:30 in the morning. The witness in this case is a member of MUFON, actually. Very, very credible witness. Dr. Melvin Redfern and myself have both concluded that this gentleman is totally sincere.
We'll get into the story here in just a second, but first of all, you mentioned the good doctor's name. He's helping you now.
I named him my assistant state director.
And you cover the whole eastern part of Tennessee, what's that, 48 counties or something?
48 counties. He's a great guy. He's retired. He's got some health problems, but doesn't interfere with his participation in MUFON at all. He's a transplant from Massachusetts, MUFON, and I'm lucky to have him.
Now, he's a clinical psychologist, correct?
He's a clinical psychologist, and he's also a clinical hypnotherapist.
So he can actually do regression therapy.
Yeah.
We had a case in Tennessee about a year ago I'm going to steer you to as well that looked like it was a close encounter and perhaps an abduction. And we couldn't find anybody that could do regressive hypnosis back then, but you have somebody now, so that can be a real benefit. Tell me a little bit about this fellow. You said he's a retired, well, he's not retired, he's a musician, and he was coming home after a gig, I take it. And he lives out in the hill country.
Yeah,
he's
a very rural community, and he's a musician. Was coming home. It was 5:30 in the morning, and this gentleman doesn't fit the parameters of most musicians. He doesn't drink alcohol. I've never heard him use a bad word, so to speak.
He's a unique musician for sure.
I would say that within a year or two we'll be seeing the gentleman in the lineup of country music genre.
So in other words, he's a younger fellow.
I guess he's a late bloomer.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I don't know. There's a lot of guys in country music, especially, that they don't really get started by middle age.
The gentleman is he's a single parent. He's raised his son, and he's a good Christian fellow. He was a preacher. I don't believe his life is what his life depended on. But anyway.
So he was coming home, what, you said 5:30
okay,
in the morning and what happened?
He was driving out this rural road where he lived. He noticed what first he saw was a fire in the distance. This is real hilly country, and, at night the hills are not exactly where we think they are, and there's a lot of big trees and so forth. So as he drove along, he caught sight of this object several times, and he knew he was getting closer to it as he drove toward his home. And he pulled up to an intersection to the road, actually, that he lived on, and he stopped his car. And he started hearing this thing long before he saw it. He noted that the sound was a deep, throbbing hum. He also told me that despite anything he could do, that probably would be no way that he could ever reproduce the sound.
Yeah, I think you originally told us that took some samples of UFO noises that you'd recorded off the web.
Those are located on the story portion of the MUFON Tennessee website. I got him to listen to that, and as a matter of fact, played for him on the phone the first time, and he said that was almost the sound, except it was different. You know, it was real close. Anyway, he put this sound in a crazy body. He said that he really couldn't relate to verbalize the feeling that overwhelmed him prior to even seeing the object that found him was outstanding in his mind. He exited the car, he starts looking for this object. Well, it emerges behind the curtain.
So what's he do? He just pulls on the side of the road?
Actually, he just stopped in the middle of the road.
Oh, did he? Yeah, it's not a lot of traffic, 5:30 in the morning on a rural road, right?
He stood up, and here comes this huge black triangle from behind these trees, and it's blocking the stars out as it comes over. As a matter of fact, he said the best of his memory, he could remember that it blocked out the entire sky. He could have thrown a rock and hit the thing.
So that's probably 20, 30 feet.
Oh, it was very close. Well, the trees out there in that area, I went and took a look and snapped some pictures of the area. The trees are probably 70, 80 feet tall.
So it could be 100 feet
yeah.
up.
This thing evidently was enormous. You mentioned the domes that the object had. It had three domes on each point of the craft. And he noted that any one of the domes was probably twice as big as this object. And he noted that it's extremely held of fire, which he said was contained within the dome, yet it was a turbulent, violent fire that swirled about.
So it'd probably be akin to, now looking at one of those old pot-belly stoves,
mm-hmm.
And you look inside, you know, and you stir it up, and in the fire, you know, you got all kinds of red and orange and yellow. You know what I'm talking about?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He said these things were filled with this flame, like, and I'm sure it probably wasn't flames. It was probably some kind of a propulsion system that was reactive in that manner. He noted that it lit the bottom of the craft up, especially in the central portion. And he noted that the craft had real black structures that ran the width of the craft, which were equidistant of each other, front to rear, as far as he could see, and the craft was silver metallic in this part where it was more brilliantly lit. Sort of reminiscent of an old balloon or an old,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
It is strange, a strange characterization for a UFO.
He could see.
Yeah, he said it was like you had stretched canvas over ribs, except it was metallic. He was quite the observer to have been as frightened as he was. But it was at the time of the thing started over top of his location, he noted that he was tingling, his hair was standing on end, he was burning.
I believe in the report I saw, you when you saw him, he had a burn that was probably bigger than the sunburn.
Well, it was kind of reminiscent of a sunburn. It was more on top of his shoulders and under his eyes. Of course, his hair covered his forehead a little bit, but under his eyes was quite red, almost sunburn-like, but not to the point of being blistered. The upper portion of his back was also very red and irritated-looking. I took some pictures of those for future reference. At that time, well, that morning when he had awoken, that would have been on Sunday morning. Before he came out, he called me and told me that he didn't know if he was going to make it. He woke up with a nosebleed, and he had awakened with metallic taste in his mouth. He was very weak, acidic, nauseated.
Did he get some kind of feeling that something wasn't going right before he went to bed?
Well, he was up all night that night. Left the lights on in his house. And,
so he actually had some
fear. Yeah, he called it dread. He said, I dread this happening again. I don't know what's going to. He also kept a loaded gun with him that night. I think he said he did nap a little bit toward morning, and that was when he was awakened with the nosebleed and metallic taste in his mouth. You know, not unlike what little bit we know, radiation sickness or something
similar. Mm-hmm.
He had some hair loss that morning. He had taken a shower, started brushing his hair, and he has plenty of hair for his age, and he noticed that this time in particular, there were strands of hair coming out on his hairbrush, which had never happened before. And since all this has happened, he's feeling somewhat better. I checked with him yesterday, day before yesterday, actually. And he's feeling somewhat better. The burn has left him. Physiologically, he is about back where he was at.
How many times have you talked to this guy?
He's a friend of mine. I talk to him on a regular basis.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh, you
right,
mean
right, only? Right.
We've interviewed him probably five times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Altogether five times, I would guesstimate. He's very sincere, and he's anxious, he's worried, he's really concerned that this is not over. Dr. Redfern and I interviewed him the other day, and I had him to turn up, but we have offered him some hypnotherapy, if you will, to get to the bottom of if anything happens to him. He had related to me the Sunday when he called prior to an interview that his car never stopped running, his radio was playing fine, everything that was in his car, his cell phone, everything like that, nothing malfunctioned, there was no electromagnetic effect whatsoever. Well, later he related to me that his watch, which is a battery-powered watch, has a fresh battery in it, had never lost time, and on this night, it lost 15 minutes.
So, in other words, he did have some missing time.
Yeah, he did. And it concerns him as well as us.
Now, when this thing was close to him, and I want to get back to this noise, how did he describe the noise the thing was making?
He said it was a deep, throbbing hum.
Was it loud?
He said it wasn't so loud as it was penetrating.
Uh-huh.
He said the sound was more like waves, if you will. He has sleep paralysis, and he listens to white noise. For his sleep paralysis, he had since he was a child, and he related it to being half asleep and listening to white noise on his little machine that
mm-hmm.
Definitely some medical professional must have provided for him. But I don't know if I've never listened to it. I don't understand sleep paralysis.
Yeah, I don't know much about it either. But this, you know, this was like in the movies. You know, you have that low hum, and it's almost earth shaking, and I guess that's what he had, and he could feel it penetrate into his body, like in sitting in front of a big bass speaker.
You know, he mentioned that, Jerry. He talked about standing in front of a big speaker up on stage.
Yes.
The sound waves.
Yeah, you can feel the sound.
Actually, not as audible as they were waves, and I don't know how to verbalize that myself, but I understand what he means.
The noise was probably even below his hearing range, a lot of it, but it was there because he could feel it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like those old commercials where they advertised, I think, a Maxell tape, and you turn it on and the guy's hair blows.
Yeah. Probably so. I would love to have experienced it myself, but this gentleman, he said the thing, it passes over his car, and it...
He didn't see any entities that he knows. Now, has he agreed to regression therapy?
Yeah, he definitely wants that. He can't decide. What we have offered this gentleman was regression, and he can either remember it or he can let us remember it for him, whichever way he wants it. That he hasn't made that decision yet. He don't know if he wants to know.
What does your friend, the good doctor, say about which is the best way, or is it vary by individuals, or have you guys ever discussed that? I'm just curious.
I think it's more what Dr. Redburn tells me. It's a case-by-case thing that most people, in fact, can probably deal with the truth. Of course, there's some people that can't. This gentleman being a big, strong man.
Well, he probably can handle it, and he has a religious base. So
I believe he can. I believe he can handle it.
Well, you're going to keep us informed on what's happening.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a wonderful case. It's an opportunity to learn, especially about this phenomenon. Not only the triangle craft, but the abduction scenario also. I don't know about you, I had always thought that triangles were black projects. But until recently, when I talked to David Marler, who is the space director for MUFON in Illinois.
He's a triangle expert, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the triangle man in MUFON. Matter of fact, he has over 3,000 reports of triangle craft. They had a wonderful sighting back in 2000 that I think a TV documentary was made about in Illinois. But David related to me that, some of these cases were back prior to Roswell of triangles, and that's an eye-opener.
Well, you know, my feeling about it is the reason I don't think they're black projects, or at least not all of them, is because we'd be using them by now. I mean, it's been 40, 50 years that these things have been pretty prevalent. And even further back than that, as you say, before Roswell, some reports. So if the government's spending that kind of money for that kind of technology, I would think they'd be using it by now.
Well, by this time, you would think one would have crashed or been exposed for what it was. Personally, I was in the military for 13 years, and there are people that are in the military that simply can't keep their mouth shut, and were they involved with something like this, we would have already known it.
Yeah, I would think that it would leak out. You can't keep a secret forever. Tell me a little bit about your activities there. MUFON seems to... it seems like there's lots of reports showing up from Tennessee already. Is it suddenly a hot spot, or why?
No, we've been asked that before, and it's actually not. It's just the fact that we have a more efficient means of collecting these reports. And by that, last year, I was named Assistant State Director before the state split, and I took the initiative to set up a network in the state of Tennessee. I mailed out contact forms and letters to all regional 911 offices in the state of Tennessee, sheriff departments, FAA offices, police departments, every outlet or inlet, if you will, for someone to call in report a UFO and let these folks know that MUFON is alive and well in Tennessee. Let them know what we are, who we are, what we're all about.
So basically, they're now aware of where to report these things.
Yeah. See, in the past, and of course, the internet is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But in the past, most of these reports were called in to control towers at airports or to TV stations where, you know, 99% of people at TV stations or newspapers don't want these reports. They don't want to go with them. And so now they have a referral point where they can send these people to. Of course, I've been preaching for, well, 6 months since I've been state director. I've been preaching Twilight Sky Watch. And every evening when weather permits, I take my camera and my binoculars and I go outside and have a nice, enjoyable evening watching for UFOs. And
all you have to do is start looking, I understand.
they're there.
Yeah.
You know, most people, I think it was a conversation with Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center that I had probably a year ago. And he told me about a survey that was taken a number of years ago, questioning people about how often or how much time they spend a day looking up. And, you know, the answer was surprising. Most people don't give 30 seconds to what's above their head in a day. And that's why they don't see
UFOs. They're literally not looking. Our time's almost up here. You have another case. I know you're going to investigate tomorrow.
Yeah, I've got a case in a nearby city where a lady reported that she was walking her dog early in the morning and there was a distortion in the sky. And she actually told me that a shape that looked like the sky but was not the sky actually moved. And she could see a distortion around this shape.
It's kind of like looking at something that's translucent, I guess.
Exactly.
Through wax papers.
I think Larry coined the phrase cloak.
From Star Trek.
And in fact, this may be, in fact, what this was. It may have been a cloaked craft.
Now, this scared this lady.
Oh, it scared her bad. She had taken her little dog out for a walk, and it didn't get to take its morning walk.
Mm-hmm.
She went back home, and I think she tried again later that day to walk the little dog.
I hope so. For his sake.
Goodness, I tell you, but, you know, there's...
You know, that's another thing. We have more sightings and reports, people walking their dogs, than almost any other thing.
That and going outside to smoke.
Yeah, smoking seems... And you go outside to smoke, don't you?
Sometimes.
Okay. Told me you had a pet squirrel before we started.
Yeah, I don't want my buddy to start smoking.
Yeah, got to keep him healthy.
That's right.
Well, hey, it's great to talk to you up there in Tennessee. You're in Bristol?
Yeah, I'm in Bristol. I'm in the very tip end of Upper East Tennessee on the Virginia state line. And wonderful country, wonderful place. Most people don't agree, but we love it.
Well, I'm sure. That's nice. It's, you know, I like Tennessee. Hey, we'll talk to you later, Kim, and we will be following up on all this. Appreciate it.
Keep you advised on any updates, and as a matter of fact, I'll shoot up you and Larry, and that way, if there's anything that transpires after this hypnosis that the witness will let us relate, I promise you, you'll be the first to know.
Appreciate that. Looking forward to it.
Enjoyed it for me.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, Kim. Well, interesting stories there, Larry.
Jerry, that's, we had quite a discussion there with Kim, and it was extremely interesting. I can't wait to get back to him and do a full hour with him shortly. He's got a lot of stuff going on there in Tennessee. And in actuality, you might as well call this Triangle Night, because that's just about all we're going to talk about across the country as we discuss sightings.
Well, Larry, flying triangles everywhere this week, I see.
Right.
Interesting. We're going to Filer's reports now, and the reports this week are a couple of weeks old.
Right,
but
they are.
They're still interesting, and we haven't talked about them before. I mean, they were posted on this week's deal, but they're all sightings from a week or two back. Where are we going to start? In Maine?
Maine, Lewiston. This report states it was about 11 p.m. on September the 15th as a witness walked to his car. He heard a noise similar to a plane, and saw a low-flying black object behind his house. He noticed that there were no red lights flashing, and the three corners were lit up in a regular light color, and in the middle, a light was beaming down to the ground. There was a deep, weird sound that didn't sound like an airplane. He states, I felt like I was in a movie. Behind my house is probably 4 to 5 miles of forest and hills. I honestly believe that it was a UFO.
And that was in Maine, and that noise matches the one in Tennessee that Kim talked about, only in Tennessee it was very loud.
Yeah, well, I suspect in Tennessee the craft was hovering very low and right over the guy's head.
Yeah, because it's probably an abduction there. Where are we going next? Another flying triangle?
Yes.
I just guessed.
Excuse me, from Voorhees, New Jersey. And of course, we just talked about the sighting here in Secaucus.
Yeah, a couple of nights ago by Bruce.
Right. So Voorhees, at 4:25 a.m. on September the 16th, the witness was sitting in his living room and saw an object flying over the tree line that looked like a backward triangle. In other words, one of these triangles that the point isn't moving forward like an aerodynamic craft, but in fact, the broad side of the triangle is moving forward. The flat base of the triangle in the front and the point in the rear was moving west-southwest. There were three large red lights, one at each corner. Now see, we've said that these things can vary in color. They're not always white. And the description from our witness in Tennessee...
They were all red, with fire.
Said fire-like, yeah. It's sort of like red, white, yellow, all mixed together, yeah. So there was one of these red lights on each corner of the triangle, as well as a slow, pulsing white light on the bottom, in the middle of the craft. It was cloudy, and when the light pulsed on the bottom, the clouds directly over the object lit up white as well. Interesting. Would seem to indicate that on the top of that craft, that white light was showing up as well.
Yeah.
The witness states, I went out on the balcony to get a better look, and there was no sound coming from it. It was nothing like I had ever seen. I immediately wakened my wife to tell her about it. She insisted that I report it. I was so shaken after seeing the object that I was unable to sleep at all until the next evening. The witness lives about 20 minutes from the Philadelphia International Airport, so he sees planes frequently.
We have anything in Pennsylvania, or where are we going next?
Yeah, if you can pronounce it.
Yeah, they got some delis there. Of course, you know, they may take offense for an Oklahoma guy saying that. We got some pretty strange towns, too.
Zelenople.
We don't have anything like that.
And I probably didn't pronounce it right. At any rate, from the town of Z, Pennsylvania, the witness reports, we were traveling northbound on Interstate 79 north of Pittsburgh, so actually that says where we are approximately, outside of Pittsburgh. At 4:45 p.m. on September the 6th, in a heavy area of traffic on the freeway, and we spotted a Y-shaped, not a triangular, but a Y-shaped white and silver craft above the tree line west of the highway. Now, this is a daytime sighting.
Yeah, and so they could see it was a Y, and I imagine the point was in front.
Right.
Okay.
At first, we thought it was some sort of remote-controlled airplane because it was making unbelievable circular maneuvers. However, it was too large to be radio-controlled. Well, you'd be surprised. You can control a 767 from the ground. Also, the Y shape was unlike any aircraft I have ever seen, and I can believe that. The air show lasted for less than 20 seconds before we lost sight of this craft. Later, towards the exit to Town Z. We saw the same craft traveling in a straight pattern at a high rate of speed heading east toward Evans City.
Well, that's an interesting and unique sighting.
Right. Now we have, you think unique. We're going to go from Pennsylvania to North Carolina. Harleysville.
Everybody there rides a motorcycle.
Right. Now, I want to, before we go there, is on this Pennsylvania sighting, the individual, the witness, did make a comment, an interesting comment. He said, the Y shape of this object was very similar to a Mercedes automobile logo.
Yeah.
And I think most people know what that looks like. So on to Harleysville, North Carolina.
Not another Mercedes logo flying around.
Well, let me read the report.
Okay.
At 8:25 p.m., I saw lights above me, a range similar to a Mercedes logo.
You're kidding me.
No. Though I could not see the shape of the ship, the lights appeared to be approximately 2 miles above us and about 20 miles away. In other words, 10,000 feet in altitude, 20 miles away. A friend of mine witnessed the lights as well, but discounted it, claiming that it must be an airplane. When my friend went inside, the lights came closer to me at a rapid rate until they were only a half a mile away. Well, it looks like he was about ready to have an encounter here. It stayed at the same altitude, made a sharp 45-degree turn, and hovered in place for 20 seconds until the lights went off. I don't really believe in UFOs, but what was it? Answer that question, a UFO.
And that was in North Carolina.
And I thought that was rather interesting. Mercedes logo.
Yeah, right, two in a row.
Now, again in North Carolina.
I thought you were kidding me at first, and then I realized you weren't.
You're right. From Charlotte, North Carolina. A large rectangle-shaped UFO was seen floating over Interstate 85 approaching the UNC Charlotte campus on September the 17th during heavy rush hour traffic. The observer says, I was going about 15 miles per hour at 5:05 p.m. and saw in the sky ahead of me, about one half mile away, a large gray rectangle. I estimate its length as long as a football field. Well, a rectangular shape, it should be a football field. It was gray with panels that were somewhat reflective. It floated motionless and then drifted to the right. I lost sight of it behind the tree line as I drove along. I removed my sunglasses and watched it for 10 seconds. As I drove along towards the campus, there were several automobile accidents. I wonder why.
They were all looking at it.
And not watching their driving, I think.
Right.
That could be dangerous. Yes, we had a report a couple of years ago, I remember, in a parking lot. Where two women ran into each other.
Ireland, I think.
Right.
Or Northern England, one or the other.
Right. Looking at a UFO.
Pull over, folks.
Right. Don't keep driving and hanging your neck out the window.
Right.
Okay. Quickly on we go to Michigan. And guess what? Another flying triangle. Corunna. That's what it says. C-O-R-U-N-N-A.
Okay.
Looking east at 10 p.m., just over the field, we spotted bright lights low on the horizon on September the 9th, and they appeared to be heading towards us. As the lights moved closer, you could make out that the craft had three large, round, very bright, non-flashing, white lights on the underside that formed a triangle. Now notice that they describe round. Right, and think of that picture that you see on Ken's
on our
page.
Website, right, when you click the show on.
Right. The craft was very silent, flying low and moving at a slow pace across the moonless sky. they state, the witnesses, we went out in the backyard to get a better look as it flew just about directly overhead, and we were able to see only a slight outline of the craft due to the light shining so brightly. We lost sight of the craft as it headed southwest in the general direction of Lansing, Michigan.
Flying triangle night for sure.
Right. Kentucky. Jackson. At 9 p.m. on September the 6th, a triangular object was seen with a bright white light plus red and blue flashing lights. Well,
usually
mine was red and green. This is red and blue.
Well, maybe the guy's colorblind.
Right. The white flashing light was more brilliant than the other two lights. Well, this only had three on it. The witness reports that one of the objects seemed to be closer than the object on the right, but both objects were stationary and not moving. Well, that's a matter of perspective. They hovered in the southwestern sky for a few hours.
Wow.
Just sitting there. Yeah. I watched them for 3 hours and then got bored and went to bed. Nothing like a boring UFO. At one point, a third object joined the two, and as suddenly as it appeared, took off to the west at an incredible speed.
That probably really wasn't a triangle. It was probably three different craft.
It could have been, yeah.
Yeah.
The reason I thought the object was triangular was because the lights did not rotate in a circle. Okay.
That was in Kentucky.
Right.
Boring UFO.
Right. Went to bed. Now we have a report from, we've got two reports from your neck of the woods. First
Arkansas?
One, well, that's next. First one is from Puxico, Missouri.
Yeah, that's on the way to Springfield.
I'm glad you know where that is.
I've seen the sign. I wouldn't know where exactly. See, I didn't say on the way to Springfield from here.
Right.
It's on the way to Springfield.
From somewhere.
Yeah, right.
On September the 9th at 9 p.m., the observer walked out on his back porch and noticed a bright light in the northwest. He had seen this several times before, but didn't take the time to look closely. This time, he got his binoculars and saw the object hovering, but at times it bounced to the left or right or up and down. When looking at it through the binoculars, it was a triangular shape and was blinking red, blue, and white, or yellow, lights. He states, "What was really strange was it looked like you were looking through heat waves as it shimmered and seemed to be spinning. It was very hard to watch. It was flying over a place where there are only woods and a lake. A place called Mingo Swamp Wildlife Refuge. I watched for a half an hour, got spooked, and went inside."
And jumped in bed and covered up his head.
Right.
With the covers.
Yeah. Next report comes from Arkansas. From Fort Smith.
That is in my neck of the woods.
Right. Right down the road.
Mm-hmm.
The observer's home is at the top of a hill, and a few moments after dark on September the 7th, he heard a very soft, low humming sound. Not a loud one, but a soft one, so this one's in the distance. At 9:15 p.m., it became a low rumbling sound, getting louder now. He states, "As I looked in the direction of the sound, I saw this huge craft approach very slowly. It was flying very low at about 400 feet in altitude. This ship had a triangular shape and its lights glowed from underneath and alternated in their light pattern as it passed over me. I grabbed my flashlight and shined it up." Maybe shone it up.
Now shined is correct.
It's accepted now.
Yeah.
Okay. When I went to school, it was shown.
Yeah, it's shine now.
Shined it up at the thing as it flew slowly over our area. Now, that isn't a thing I would usually recommend.
No.
Signaling, especially at low altitude UFOs.
Take me.
Someone else had to see this huge craft. presumably, but it was so quiet and seemed to take forever to go over the area. I was shocked and called loudly to my mom in the next room. So this is an adolescent. She said she heard the rumbling or hum that was unlike a normal engine propulsion sound. I then grabbed my flashlight and ran off the porch to the street corner to get a better look as it left our area. This ship, or whatever it was, flew over the edge of town and out of my view. We have seen other sightings as well in this area over the past few months. This thing was huge. My God, what or who was flying this ship? Certainly got excited, didn't they?
There's a secret base down there at Fort Chaffee. Been closed for a while. It used to be an Army fort.
Right.
And that's south of Fort Smith.
Right.
So maybe. Who knows?
Well, we have...
Maybe the ETs took it over.
We got a couple of more sightings. How much time do I got?
We're doing fine. You got 6 minutes.
Okay.
5.5 probably would be safer, but...
Okay. Well, let's get going then. Down to Texas. There were a number of reports from Texas this week. I think a couple of them, triangles. First is from Kaufman County.
Okay.
The witness was out taking a few pictures of the sky on September the 15th when he noticed a strange craft going northwest at 3:16 p.m. It was probably going 300 to 400 miles an hour, so he took a picture with his Kodak camera. He states, "I thought it was a black triangle at first, but it looks like it's got a straight backside and is rounded in the front sides, kind of like a half moon." Well, this is still qualifies as being a triangle. It's just got rounded edges. And he says, "I'm sending you a copy of the main picture and some enlargements. It was partly cloudy today with a slight breeze of maybe 10 miles an hour. I saw one jet, commercial jet.
Probably.
Fighter jet, whatever, afterwards. Now, you want to see the picture? Go to Brian Pike's site."
Old Brian gets reports from everywhere. Okay, where else in Texas?
Kingwood. You know where Kingwood is?
No, I don't know where the other one was either.
Kingwood, that sounds sort of like bush country.
Probably is, but...
Well, there should be some triangles down there. Maybe one will pick him up. At any rate, two flying triangles with rounded edges and a metallic surface were flying in a straight line to the north-northwest at a fairly rapid pace on September the 13th at 7:15 p.m. The sunlight glinted on the objects as they slowly spun around each other in half to full circles. Now, that's a little strange. While periodically reversing their directions. Well, these people couldn't decide where they were going, I guess.
Well, they were having maneuvers.
Right.
UFO ET maneuvers over Texas.
Well, everybody likes to have fun, I suppose. They flew in a straight line, maintaining a steady speed.
It's probably the ET Texas National Guard.
Right. And that's a rather strange description of behavior, but, like any other intelligent species, sometimes people want to have fun.
Yeah, you got 3 minutes. You said there were other things in Texas?
That's it that we're going
to
cover.
You want to go up to Washington and do that triangle?
Yeah. We have a report from Seattle. Several observers spotted the UFO over West Seattle flying west on September the 12th at 11:11 a.m. in the morning. Four people were on the porch and sighted the object directly above them. Two people saw it immediately and two did not. When all four were aware of it, they then went to the front door facing west. But the UFO was not sighted as it was traveling at a high speed, faster than a commercial airliner or private plane. Only two people out of the four actually viewed the object, as the other two were not in a good spot to see it. The UFO seemed to be ruled out as a meteor breaking up and displaying two sources of light at each end of the object. The form was almost seemed like a cigar. So actually, this could be a disc. You know, anytime somebody describes a cigar, yeah, I usually think of it as actually being a disc seen from the side. There are cylindrical craft, but they tend to be very large and fly very high. Our second report from Washington State is from Marysville. The witness noticed a set of three white lights just to the southeast of 67th Avenue on September the 16th at 11:11 a.m. Isn't that interesting? Same time? Exactly.
Yeah. Marysville probably is near there.
Two different days.
Oh.
The 16th and the 12th.
Okay.
He states, the witness, I was on the cell phone speaking to a friend describing the UFO and saw it was stationary over a little farmhouse next to the road. And that's all he's got to say about it. A flying triangle with three bright white lights at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, both of them at 11:11. Our time's up, too. So I guess we're going to have to leave.
I guess we will.
We'll talk to you later. Watch out for those flying saucers, Larry.
Okay. You and everybody else, keep your eyes to the skies.
Good night.
Good night.